We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Wow, it's good to be here. Chad, right? Man, brother, that was amazing. I just want to say that I stepped over and said to your pastor during the middle of the worship, I said, boy, this is a vibrant bunch. And your worship was awesome. So, gosh, I'm glad to have been here just to sit through that. Okay, my name is Lane Gordon. Pastor Todd has already introduced you to me. I'm just an old country boy from Dothan, Alabama. Anybody ever heard of that? Okay. You know, that's the peanut capital of the world, I want you to know. It's the only city in America that's got a perfect circle around it. If you fly over the top of it and look down, it's called the Ross-Clark Circle, and you get on it, and you can just keep going on and on and on, and people that are strangers, they don't know how to get off of it. So they stop and say, I don't know where I'm going. It's the least, you just got to look for it's confusing. It's confusing. So anyway, that's where I drove down from this morning to be with you guys. And my story, I think you said you showed that video on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I do have an incredible story. God did a miracle in my marriage. It was, I think, irreparable in my thinking and in my wife's thinking. And maybe I'll get into that a little bit. But just up front, I can look at my wife every morning as we sit and have coffee and say, God did a miracle, you know that. And because we hated each other, okay? And you know what? Let me just say it like this. That song was so perfect, Chad. Revival changes everything, okay? So when I say revival, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. I was in a church 2 weeks ago, and I don't know if they actually understood what revival was. You know, I asked a few people, I said, what do you think about revival? And they're like, well, you know, people getting saved. And, you know, I remember going to the tents and stuff when I was younger or whatever. And I'm like, revival is not an evangelistic event, okay? You can't bring back to life something that's dead, you know? So just so you know, revival is just the song before that song. Even Chad was like, man, restoring your soul, renewal, revive, whatever you want to call it. The word is a bit antiquated. I know if you get up into, I don't know, is this the Bible Belt? What do you call this place? I mean, what is Newport Richie? I know you get up in Alabama and Georgia, it's the Bible Belt. And you start talking about revival, people kind of growl and say, I don't, you know, that word's sort of old and antiquated. And I want to say, no, revival rescued and restored my marriage and has burned those truths so deep into my heart and soul that I still walk in them today. So revival is for God's people, and it changes everything, okay? So through the last few months, me and your pastor got to know each other by phone. I never seen the guy till today. Walked in his office and we had a couple hour talk there and went up here and had another hour talk. And I think we're going to go to eat tonight and have some more talk. So, I like him, you know. Even when I was talking to him before I got here, I liked you, Todd. My role with Life Action Ministries, which is a revival ministry, is I schedule our teams and I handle all the management of that. We'll do 55 events this year. So you're one of those 55 somewhere in January around the 9th or something. It's a Sunday through Wednesday event. Our team will come in on Friday night and you guys our team's going to stay out at Word of Life in this particular event. But we're going to bring a bunch of people here that's going to run your sound. My brother's back there will be freed up. Chad and his wonderful band and orchestra is going to be freed up. I know you love playing music, but we're going to try to free you up there. We're going to free up all your children's workers and from four-year-olds and up and your youth person. And so what we're doing here is we're going to push the pause button and kind of take an intentional interruption in the normal shepherding and equipping these brothers do for y'all. They've invited us to kind of come alongside you to seek God for a few days. Okay, you like that? Wow. Maybe I don't really have to say anything else, you know. Sometimes I say that to people in churches and they look at me like, I don't know if I want to do this. So, you know, so, because guess what? Revival can be messy and it can even be painful when God really starts to show you things in your heart that maybe has been rooted or grown, you may have grown blind to over time. So we're going to be plowing pretty deep in these days, and we're going to do that with truth and with God's word. We're not coming with a bunch of programs or anything. We're just going to simply take you through a process that Life Action has been doing for 42 years. Well, no, 44 years now, and the end result is life change, transformation. I like to call it a life message. I know your pastor's been talking to me. I think this week's kind of focus has been on sin, you know, missions. So what better way to send? You need a life message that's right with God as you're sent. You don't even want to go otherwise, actually. I mean, revival even makes you want to go back into your home or to your parenting or your workplace or Walmart or a traffic light or whatever so that you can bear the image of Christ well. Okay? So that's what we're after during these days of being with you. I think there's going to be 35 people show up. Let me tell you this, we're not the gypsies. Well, I may have offended somebody. Maybe there's a gypsy. I don't know. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with gypsies, but we're not gypsies. We're ministers, but we're not a cult. I mean, we believe the Bible, and Jesus is Lord and Savior and all that. So we're not heretics, okay? So I get excited. I probably have scheduled over the last 10 years 500 or 600 of these, okay? All of them, I think, Todd, you called around. Everybody said, do it, okay? It's a defining time in the life of your church. Nothing special about us. We're not like bringing in the Holy Spirit or revival on a truck or any of that stuff. But the truth and the prayer, your prayer, your hearts, all that together, the format that we do it, and it's designed for everybody, you know, so that everybody's included. It just works. And God will do a bunch. Okay? I promise you that. So I want to share a little bit with you out of God's word. I asked Todd, I said, man, you want me to preach? Or he said, I don't really preach, but you want some God's word in it. But don't, you know, so I'm going to try to not preach, but, by the way, I'm not a trained preacher. I'm just a guy that, by the way, I am an x-ray technician. Anybody in here one of those? I spent years working in a radiology department and, worked myself into a miserable management position and, now, when you're miserable in your job and your marriage stinks and you're Christian, you've gotten hard and cold and mechanical in your Christian walk, life just really isn't very fun, okay? So I quit at radiology and opened up a barbecue restaurant at the age of 40 years old. And all I was doing was looking for fulfillment. I was trying to grasp something that would make me happy. Now, I was a born-again believer, folks. I grew up in a very dysfunctional, dark lifestyle, saved at the ripe age of 30. I told Todd today, I thought the Bible was in alphabetical order when I got saved. This do in remembrance of me, they made no sense to me at all. You know, do y'all have one of those? You know, the Lord's table that says that? I asked that question to the pastor, you know, I walked the aisle and I'm like, what does that mean? I mean, that didn't seem to say it right. Vestibule, you know, I didn't, what's a vestibule? You know, I thought that was something in your ear. And they were like, no, that's a vestibular or something. So I was a born-again believer, loved Jesus in 1992. It's just life, marriage, five children, baggage from my whole life, my wife's baggage, enemy, flesh, just all that stuff kind of gets and works its way into your heart, and things start going wiry, things start going south, as we call it in Alabama, and you're miserable. And it's in times like that that we got to push the pause button and say, hey, we need a time of refreshing. You know, Jesus did it. I mean, he went and had times of refreshing with the Father. He tried to get disciples to do it. What'd they do? They just fell asleep. So that's what's about to happen here in January, and I'm here to represent that, and I want to share a little bit of what I want to do tonight is scratch the surface just a bit. I'm only a preparer. I'm like the John the Baptist. But there's revival has to start somewhere, okay? And one thing I do want to make perfectly clear, and it's already been stated here today, that revival is not about the person sitting next to you. It's not about the person you think needs revival. Matter of fact, if you even think or say that, you need revival worse than everybody. Okay? This is about you. We're coming here not to necessarily deal with a corporate church, but the heart of every individual in here. We kind of used to have a mission statement that said we want to change one heart at a time. One heart at a time. Now we say things like, hey, you know what? After changing one heart at a time, we also want that. We want to ignite authentic movements of authentic Christianity. Now, do you think an authentic follower of Christ, do you think the gospel is attractive in their life? You know what I'm saying by that? Like, you're like, man, you know, it's not how you wear your hair or your dress or how you speak or how proper you are. I mean, some of that stuff may work out in there somewhere, but it's your life message. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I'm sitting here trying to train five kids and trying to teach them to be humble and deny themselves and to possess kindness or put off anger and put on kindness. I mean, that is the heart change we're looking for. And folks, when we get a bunch of people change in a church, it comes alive. And then that starts changing what? Homes, most importantly. Folks, that's what happened to me. If God would not have restored and rescued my marriage in February of 2001, my five children would not love the Lord today. And I would not have their hearts. They're not perfect. I can tell you that. I'm not either. But they listen. They call for counsel. And they want me to speak into their life. That if they ever grown up with a daddy and a mama that faked it, walked in pretense, hypocrisy, like, you know, I'm just talking Southern Baptist here. I mean, you get in the South and the Bible Belt and the typical Southern Baptist church, you got a whole bunch of that going on. You wonder why kids leave the home and turn into wild people and go to college and never step foot in a church again until maybe God plucks them and saves them or whatever. But I guarantee you one thing, if they grow up in a home with an authentic mother and daddy, that the gospel's actually attractive in their life as they're instructing them and praying with them and talking to them and living with them and doing life with them, they'll love the Lord. Okay? So, revival has to start somewhere. Okay? And that's in the heart of each individual believer. But what I want to get across tonight as sort of a spark, you know, a time of saying, guys, listen to me. There's a quality that every follower of Jesus needs for revival to happen in their heart. Okay? This quality is foundational. This quality helps you to love your Christ as Jesus, love your wife as Christ loved the church. This quality helps you submit to the loving leadership of a godly husband. This quality helps young people to obey and to honor their parents. This quality allows you to go into the workplace and submit to authority. This quality helps you to make it through somebody else got a raise and I didn't, or they got that position and I didn't. This quality helps everything. Matter of fact, this quality is foundation to all the other truths that I'm going to name after it, okay? And you're probably going, what is it, Lane? You know what it is? It's humility. Humility. Bankrupt of self. A selfish person is not going to have revival. A prideful person is not going to have revival. A self-righteous person is not going to have revival. It takes the quality of humility to admit where you are spiritually. You get that? I mean, you have to get to a point where you're saying, okay, I'm going to search my heart. Oh, God, I can't share. I can't get honest about that. That people will think that I'm not a believer. And God's like, no. You got to get honest. Which getting honest with God just really means I'm going to agree with God about my spiritual condition. God, I want to do anything I can to draw close to you. And in James 4:6, that's what he's saying. You don't have to open there. Just James 4:6. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And then over in 1 Peter, it says it again, to clothe yourself with humility. And again, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Listen to what Isaiah says. Isaiah says, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place. You know who you're talking about? God. God is this person that's high and lifted up. He inhabits eternity. He dwells in the high and holy places, but then it turns and says, guess what else though? I also with him who is of contrite and lowly spirit to revive the spirit of the lowly. God is nowhere near a prideful heart, a selfish heart, a self-righteous heart. He's stiff-arming you. You can use it any kind of synonym you want. Oppose, resist. Some translations say, the Greek says, God is at war with you if you don't possess the quality of humility. Right, brother? I mean, it is all over the Bible. I only read 3 verses, but everywhere you look, God is looking for a humble heart. And when our ministry's here, we're going to teach big time on this. I'm just scratching the surface to get you thinking that, okay, over these months, I know it's like 10 weeks away. I mean, that's just when we're coming. But you can start preparing now and say, God, I want to choose to humble myself even tonight and say, God, start searching me. Just look. And if he starts showing you things, start peeling layers off, getting real. If it's something that you need to share with your pastor, it's a huge private sin or chat or whatever, just start letting God deal with your heart now. But this is the other part of this verse about God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Let me tell you another definition of grace. Now, you know that grace means unmerited favor. I mean, grace is amazing. None of us deserve anything. We didn't bring anything to the table when we got saved, but we just repented and believed. Okay, God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus did everything else. But listen to this definition of grace. The dynamic quality of God. Okay, you hear this? The dynamic quality of God within me that enables me to live the life that Jesus died to provide. Okay? If you humble yourself and start with that quality, that characteristic in your life, grace, the dynamic quality of God. Another definition of grace is the power and the desire to obey, to live for Jesus. Folks, we can't do anything without grace. So everything starts with humility. And then repentance. And then dealing with the horizontal relationships in our life with forgiveness. Dealing with bitterness and anger, these things that get so rooted in our hearts, it destroys us. It even makes us unhealthy. And lastly, after you get this vertical right and this horizontal right, then you can start living a kingdom life, walking in obedience to all the commands of God. Not just 10, there's like 600 and something in the Bible. Okay? If you don't really like your wife, God doesn't change your heart. I'm just speaking to the guys, but it doesn't matter. Whether no matter what she's doing, your role is still to love her, and you're going to need to humble yourself and cry out for grace to even be able to obey that truth. This is the kind of stuff that God wants to do in our lives. He wants to change this church into a sending Great Commission body, bunch of folks. Because I'm telling you, man, when you get your heart right with God and the grace of God comes on you, everything's good in your home, school, whatever, the gospel will become pretty, attractive, kind of contagious. You'll become a warm pair of cozy slippers to people. You will. I'm going to share one more thing, and I'm just going to kind of weave in. Just, I know you saw that video of me, but folks, let me tell you, when the grace of God was infused into my soul during that event 15 years ago, I went through a week. The event we had was longer. I told Todd, I said, man, you probably have this 4-day, and I hope you call me the day after we leave and schedule another one. We'll come back and be with you longer, okay? But on our event, I went through a whole week of listening to a guy nailing me with these truths. God was just had his thumb on me. But at the same time, this other guy was teaching truths like, Lane, love Sherry like I love you. And about leading her spiritually and all this stuff. And I'm like, man, this is overwhelming me. This is painful. There's no way I can do this. And it got to a place where it was like I had a choice to make. But folks, nobody knew that my marriage was a wreck. Does that connect? Nobody knew. I was a Sunday school teacher of this big college recruiter class. 32 college. I mean, we were like successful, a deacon and kind of a pillar of the church. And I'm like, I'm fixing to let a cat out of the bag here. And everybody's going to go, what? But I couldn't stand it any longer. The second Sunday, we're sitting in this meeting. They called all the male leadership of the church, just wanting to know what's going on in your life, the deacons and things. And we got in this circle in this room. And the main speaker says, so what's going on in your life, gentlemen? Man, you could have heard a pin drop. You know how men are. They're like, I ain't going to say anything. You ask that to a bunch of women in the room, they're like, can I go first? You know, they like to, they'll get real a little quicker than a man. Right, guys? All those guys were like, I ain't saying anything. No, I was just joking. I mean, I'm like, oh shit, I was acting it out for Todd earlier. I'm like, I was like this, man. Oh gosh, my heart beating, I'm sweating. I'm like, man, I'm fixing to just, they're going to go, dude, you sort of live a lie. But I did it. I just shot it up, and everybody kind of looks at me. And Tim St. Clair, the speaker in that event, says, "So what is it, brother?" And this is what came out of my mouth. I said, "If God doesn't heal my marriage or do something, my marriage is over." And you know how somebody looks at you, but then they really look at you? That's what happened, because they knew then Lane's a liar. And I just kind of sensed what they were thinking. I said, "Yeah, I'm a liar. I'm a big fake. I've been walking in pretense so long that I'm tired of it. Wearing a mask. I mean, when I was a kid, I wore a Halloween mask. And after about 2 hours, you just want to take that thing off. That little strap got in your hair, and you got sweaty, and you couldn't hardly see. You're running to stuff. So it was like that. I mean, it was like, I got to get real. And when I did it, I went to one of the speakers, the guy that was teaching more of the family stuff. I said, "What do I do?" He said, "Go to your wife and see if she wants to meet tonight." I said, "Man, ain't going to happen." Little did Lane know, the bigness and the muchness and the hugeness of God was dealing with my wife's heart at the same time. So I go home with fear and trembling, saying, "Guess what? I told everybody." And she goes, "I don't care." I said, "Well, you want to meet tonight with Lane and Janet, another guy named Lane?" And she says, "Yeah." We go through the service that Sunday night. We meet in our family life center in this little room, and we basically just hashed it out. Talked about what our issues were. It didn't last long. I mean, we'd already been through counseling and those weekend marriage things when you redo your vows and you kiss and you go home and start fighting again. I mean, the point of this is that was easy. This was painful, folks. It was. And we reconciled. And that's been 15 years ago. So I believe during days like this that when God sends revival to your heart, by the way, you have control over personal revival. It's a choice. We don't have control over that big stuff, you know, like a third or fourth great awakening, or, you know, that's a sovereign movement of God, you know. But we, each person in here has a choice where they want to be personally revived. And it's just called humbling yourself, getting on your face, and getting honest, and becoming a repenting repenter, and giving forgiveness, and clearing your conscience, and living above reproach, and having a life message that's flawless. When something comes up, and you sin, or you wrong somebody, you make it right, or you ask for forgiveness, or you make restitution, or whatever. God healed my marriage. It was a miracle. I love Sherry Gordon. I love her. I love drinking coffee with her. We drink gallons. Okay? One last story. I have time for 5 minutes. Y'all okay with that? There's a guy, when I opened my restaurant, this little young buckaroo that that was in my Sunday school class, worked for this sign company. And he came in the back door of the restaurant one day with a bandana on his head, black, dark, dirty. And I'm like, "Man, he smell like smoke." He said, "I know, the sign company just burned down." And I said, "Well, what are you doing here?" He said, "I need a job." I said, "Okay, you got it." And so I hired him, it was just a little mom and pop. I didn't have to go fill out anything. I said, "Here, I'm going to tell you what you do." But that was right when the Life Action event started. So we were about a week into it. Well, about the second day of him coming in early with me, Brian Holloway is his name, comes in and says, "Hey, man, I got to talk to you." And I'm like, "Man, what is it? I mean, He was kind of a joker and kind of a happy guy, but what happened was God had revealed something in a sin that he had to deal with. But what it was a sin of stealing. He worked at JCPenney's like a year before that. Worked in the shoe department and stole a pair of cowboy boots. I said, "So what are you saying?" He said, "Well, I gotta make it right." Right? And I said, "Yeah, you do." He said, "Well, I may go to jail." Or I said, "Man, that's the consequences of sin, you know." So he goes to JCPenney's and he takes those old worn out year old cowboy boots, flops them up on the counter in the shoe department. The little girl looked at him like he's crazy and says, "I don't know what to do." She calls the supervisor. Supervisor comes, "I don't know what to do." They call the manager of JCPenney's at home. And Brian gets on the phone and says, "Hey, ma'am, I'm Brian Holloway. Yeah, I remember you. Well, when I worked in the shoe department, I stole these boots. And God has convicted me, and I'm here to ask your forgiveness and to make restitution and to face any charges you want to bring against me." The lady, now this is Brian telling me, I wasn't there, but he said, "Man," she just started crying and says, "If I only had a son or whatever like you, I would be proud. You are forgiven. Take your boots and enjoy them, and I'm not calling the police." Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings consequences and conflict. Saul was not completely obedient, and he lost the throne. He lost his friend Samuel, and he sat around in shame as David ruled the nation. Revival changes everything. Tonight, I'm going to give you a time to respond to anything that God may have laid on your heart. Any sin, even if it's just the sin of just dirty old pride. You know that pride is the greatest sin since the beginning? How does the devil become the devil? But pride. That's a big deal. Whatever God may have laid on, I mean, I've just tried to be simple here and real. I shared some truth here that God is nowhere near the heart of the prideful. Only with the lowly and the contrite spirit did one. But also, I don't want you to feel condemned, because all it takes, 1 John 1:9, if you'll confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive those sins. He wants to restore you, right? So tonight, isn't the life action event. It's just a night that we're all joining together and saying, "Hey, what's maybe there that I can get rid of right now?" God would love to send personal revival to your heart tonight.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons, or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.